I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. On today's Africa Update, is Somalia the forgotten crisis? Plus, Spain indicts 40 Rwandan military officers for genocide. And HIV-positive men get arrested in Egypt. For more, we've got Bill Fletcher. He is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of Trans Africa Forum. Bill, nice to talk to you again.
I'm glad to be back.
Let's start with Somalia. The United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, says the lives of up to 15,000 children are at risk in Somalia unless emergency aid arrives in the next few weeks. It also says children in Somalia are more at risk than children anywhere else in the world. Now, since fighting in the capital, Mogadishu, began nearly 6 months ago, thousands have fled the city and are living in refugee camps. They are facing starvation and disease. Question number one, why does Somalia have such a pressing humanitarian crisis right now?
Well, as you know, Somalia has been in a state of almost constant turmoil since 1991 when Siad Barre was overthrown and a clan-based civil war unfolded. And the Somali state, there was no government. It basically collapsed and had been non-existent basically until the Union of Islamic Courts, an Islamist group, took over power a couple of years ago. So about a year ago, they were ousted by the Ethiopian invasion. And since then, there has been a guerrilla war that's been going on that has left most of Somalia in constant turmoil.
Is it a forgotten crisis?
I'd say yes, for the most part that it is. And it's forgotten, at least in the United States, because there's not the direct involvement of U.S. troops. There is indirect U.S. involvement, absolutely. But the you notice very often in the U.S. media that when no one from the United States is dying, a situation is not declared to be a crisis. And so in Somalia, it's the people of Somalia, as well as Ethiopian troops, that are dying, and therefore it's not on our screen.
One more thing about Somalia before we move on. Talking about a split there, a potential split, the Bush administration and some members of Congress are considering whether to recognize Somaliland. Tell us about that, and what concerns do you have?
Somalia as a nation was the result of the merger of two former colonies, Italian Somaliland and British Somaliland, and this took place in 1960. When Siad Barre was overthrown in 1991 and chaos ensued, a section of Somalia, the former British Somaliland, seceded and set up a government in what they called Somaliland, which is not recognized by other countries on this planet, and it has not been recognized by the United States. What's happened very recently, however, is that noises have been made, particularly out of the Department of Defense, but also out of Congress, about recognizing Somaliland because of its alleged stability, but also because of its proximity to the Red Sea and the Persian Arabian Gulf. And I think what we have to understand is that if the United States goes forward and recognizes Somaliland, it may in fact set a chain of events to unfold that over which no one will have any control. It's sort of along the lines of when Germany recognized Slovenia and later Croatia, which contributed to the dismemberment of the former Yugoslavia, that other groupings may look at this as a sign that the United States will give them recognition. And I don't mean just in Somalia. I'm talking about in other parts of the continent. So this is a very risky proposition. And I would say that it's better for the United States to try to figure out how it can help to unify Somalia rather than to splinter it.
All right, let's move on to Rwanda. A Spanish judge recently indicted 40 Rwandan military officers on several grounds of genocide, human rights abuses, and terrorism. Spain's high court has accused the officers of involvement in mass killings in the early 1990s. Now, Rwanda does not have an extradition treaty with Spain, and officials in Rwanda have denounced the indictments as politically motivated. What, Bill, is the significance of these indictments?
Very, very peculiar, Tony. These are indictments not against the people that most of us would think would be indicted. These are indictments against those who overthrew the perpetrators of the genocide. So let's just go back for a second. In 1994, Rwanda was in the middle of a civil war. In that, there were peace negotiations, and at a certain moment, the president, the then president of Rwanda, is killed when his plane is shot down. Almost instantaneously, a genocide carried out by the Hutu military against Tutsis and Tutsi allies took place, in which somewhere between 800,000 and 1 million people were killed in roughly 3 months. The perpetrators of this genocide were ultimately defeated by the forces of the Rwanda Patriotic Front, and they were driven out of Rwanda, in most cases into refugee areas in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The indictments are against individuals who were connected with the Rwanda Patriotic Front. And basically, the indictments seem to say that these individuals perpetrated crimes against the Hutus. Now, they may have. I mean, that's something that a court will have to judge. But it's very odd in that you have outside of the borders of Rwanda the equivalent of the Waffen-SS. You have these perpetrators of the genocide that are still free and are running around in often in refugee camps and have not been brought to justice. And so in that situation, going after these individuals seems a bit odd. It's not to say that they're innocent of having perpetrated crimes, but it seems that the justice is a little bit unbalanced here.
You know, something else that caught my eye, and I'd like for you to explain to the audience, is this: the connection between Rwanda and Spain, and why Spain is prosecuting these war crimes.
The technical reason that Spain is prosecuting them has to do with the murder of some Spaniards in Rwanda. And they may have been murdered, executed, or so-called collateral damage in the war that was going on between the Rwandan Patriotic Front and the Hutu perpetrators of the genocide. It's not quite clear, but basically it's because of that reason that Spain is taking these actions. And that's not a ridiculous idea. I mean, it is not unprecedented for a country to bring charges, as took place in Britain, or was about ready to take place in Britain, against the former dictator of Chile, Augusto Pinochet. So, because British people were killed when he took over in 1973. So that's not unusual that Spain would take such a step. What is unusual is that these were not the perpetrators of the genocide. When we're thinking about the Rwandan genocide, it is not about crimes that were committed against the Hutus. It really was the crimes that were committed by the Hutu military against the Tutsis and the Tutsis' allies among the Hutus.
So these indictments were brought against the people who fought against the people who caused the genocide.
Precisely, which does not mean that they are innocent. Not at all. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, that it's an odd set of circumstances when you have these criminals that are running around in the eastern Congo.
Interesting. Very much. Bill, thank you so much for coming on. Bill Fletcher is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and the former president of Trans-Africa Forum. He spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters. Thanks,
Bill.
Thank you.